How did Papa Grows Funk first come together?
This was a jam session 10 years ago this week. I called some guys up, and it was Russell Baptiste, Jason, June, Mark Hero. So I got a little gig. We're not going to make any money. And I just going to go see what happens. You want to do it? And I said, okay, try it out. And people showed up, and we had a great time playing. And we've been doing it every Monday night. And this week is 10 years.
How does your songwriting process work? Does it mostly evolve out of jams, or?
No, actually, everybody kind of comes up with their own little ideas on their own, and then brings it in, and then we develop the ideas to a song structure point for a studio recording, and then we take that, and then we just I call that the composition part. And we take it to the gigs, and it's the decomposition part. We just completely manipulate and change it, and keep evolving, and it never stays the same. You know, that's why we can play some of the same songs we've been playing for 10 years, and they just don't get old because they're never the same.
So you're always trying to change them up live and always make them evolve.
Playing with some very creative guys.
Sure.
And they're never stale, they're never stagnant, they're always pushing the limit every single night. And that's just the beauty of the whole thing. It just always can change it on the drop of a hat. I mean, anything could happen at any given time, and the songs are just always, they're just tools. We just screw around with the song, and it's just an excuse to play something. It really doesn't matter what we play. I mean, we can play very complex songs, we can play very one chord simple jams, but altogether it's very highly complex and musical because the musicians are so killing it, that we play with.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite place to play in New Orleans?
Well, Maple Leaf is home.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, we've been in Maple Leaf 9 years now, and it really is home. It's like playing in our living room. It's kind of a show, but it's not like playing Jazz Fest or another festival or like a bigger venue across the country. It's like playing in your backyard or in your living room or in the, whatever, and just so relaxed. The people come out are so chill and so relaxed that there's never any kind of attitude. There's no faking it in Maple Leaf. You have to be real. If you're not real, you can't hang.
No.
And that's in the crowd, it's for the audience, it's for the musicians, and it goes back and forth, and that's like the most incredible thing about it.
How old were you when you first started playing piano?
Well, I guess I was in sixth, seventh grade, I started taking my first lesson. I started screwing around a little bit in sixth grade, taking piano lessons, started working on, pop tunes, Beatles songs, whatever, rock and roll stuff, whatever I like. And then when I went to Loyola for music, I got a French horn degree. I also studied piano. I took lessons for another 2 years there. I studied jazz piano and French horn. I wound up just getting my degree in French horn. And the rest of the time, I just kind of just practicing playing with records and trying to learn, how to do a gig and how to learn some songs.
Where did you play first gig in New Orleans?
I was in a couple top 40 bands. So we played out in Kenner and Metairie an awful mm-hmm. lot. And then we would play Madigan's. Madigan's used to have live music.
Nice.
We played there all the time. We really filled that place up, jam-packed, 300-plus people in a little place.
Just sort of evolve into your own songwriting? Like, when did that start to happen?
I've been writing songs since I was in high school. I mean, this is something that I do. I'm not a passionate songwriter. I'm not a guy who wakes up every day and says, I got to write a song today. I got to exercise my craft. I just get bursts of creative spirit. I just kind of, hopefully I'm somewhere near something that I can record it down or write it down or something like that. And then after that, I kind of sift through and see what I have. And then, once I get near time for a project, I start like really delving in really hard with lyrics and different grooves. And I'm always listening to the masters. I mean, it's probably not a week that goes by that I don't listen to at least one Dr. John record, one Beatles record, one Alan Toussaint record. I'm just always constantly getting that stuff in my head and keeping it in my head and trying to keep it fresh and, always trying to remember what's the lineage of what my musical heritage is going to be. And just keep staying on all of that, and hopefully songs come out of it.
You're trying to take us on New Orleans sound and just keep it moving forward, right? I mean, that's what you're about.
That's totally what I'm about. I mean, it's the music that I grew up with. It's the music that I love. I mean, if you had to ask me any thing to listen to, I'm going to tell you, like, the Dr. John's, the Meters, or, something like that, the Radiators, or whatever. That's, it's going to be New Orleans be the top of all my playlists and the things that I love the most, so... And being a New Orleans musician, it's just important to me to be able to keep that tradition alive and carry it on to another newer generation. Because our masters are dropping, every year we lose another one.
That's true, yeah.
So it's, someone's got to carry it on and hoping to do my part in that.
Do you remember the first Meters album you heard?
I didn't really listen to any of the records until the early 90s, but I knew a lot of the songs, the singles, off the radio, playing, going to parties and having the stuff played. Probably the first Meters song that I do remember is They All Ask You, the two songs. I can remember, being a little kid with my grandparents sitting on the streets of New Orleans, St. Charles, watching the parades go by, and somebody blasting that song. song, you know, out of a car or a boombox or something like that, and always had that song going on. And that was probably the first music song I was aware of, but I didn't know who it was. You know, it was the thought of a zoo song.
Do you have a favorite place to play outside of NOLA?
There's a bunch. I mean, I love getting to Colorado. People there are awesome. The weather's always incredible. Even if it's snowing, the weather's just great. New York has its own completely different vibe, that electricity, fire, energy that, you know, just comes with being in Manhattan. San Francisco is pretty chill, but it's a big city and it's a real cultural artsy city. It reminds me a lot of New Orleans, and the people kind of like New Orleans over there. But it's a California vibe twist to it, so I mean, that's also a great, great place. People in San Diego are pretty chill. We're getting a lot of fun in Texas. Austin and Houston people are, you know, every little town has its own unique thing, and I kind of look forward to that every time we go to a new town.
There's certain towns that really respond to what y'all do.
In different towns, we do have better markets where larger crowds come out. But I gotta say, anybody who shows up at our show, doesn't matter if we're playing in Japan, Europe, anywhere in the country, if there's 20 people in the crowd, 200 people in the crowd, or 2,000, people are going off all the time. So people get it. It does something to them.
Right.
You know, on the business side, it's like, you know, we make more money in certain cities than we do others.
Sure.
But as far as delivering and communicating a musical message, it happens every night we play, no matter who's out there. And that's a treat.
I mean, I'm sure in Japan, they're just nuts, June being Japanese, like, guitar master.
It's amazing over the years. We played Japan 4 times now. Over the years, getting to know June's friends as his friends, but also as each time I get to meet them, understanding how big and successful they are in the country. And they come to June because June is the one they respect the most. We could be talking to, like, you know, a guy who sings in front of, you know, 1,000, 2,000 people every night he plays.
Yeah.
And he's got actors, he's got movie producers, he's got baseball guys come out. I mean, it's like all these incredible people from all walks of life that are, like, very famous and very big in Japan, and, like, they come to see June because he's the guy who is, like, the guitar guy. June was a member of the first Japanese electric blues band that Japan ever had. So June was really big by the time he was 18 in Japan.